Welcome back, the Bible is Funny podcast family, listening audience, you the viewers, PBS is supported by viewers like you. This is the Bible is Funny podcast. My name is Anthony Russo. Some of you may know me better as at the Bible is Funny on Instagram. And this is the Bible is Funny podcast where we discuss the funniest parts of the Bible and what we can learn from them. We are in my house right now as I record this. My boys are asleep after a big day, big quarantine day. We went to the park, and here's something you need to know about me. I talk a lot of game about being brave around alligators. It's not uncommon. It's an ongoing conversation with a really good friend of mine that I feel like I could get control of like a 5 to 6 foot alligator. We live in Florida. Alligators are like a way of life here. They're in every body of water you come across. There's gators in there. Bird baths, swimming pools, there's gators living in it. So we're at the park and we're hanging out, and my youngest is 2 years old, loves alligators right now, like absolutely obsessed. So we're looking for alligators, and we saw a little teeny tiny baby alligator, very cute. And then we saw what had to be a 12, 13 foot alligator, massive head sticking up out of the water. And I saw it and I showed it to everybody, and I was like, this is a big alligator. Like, this is the real deal. And I've been talking all this junk about my courage around alligators and my ability to get them under control. This massive dinosaur, really, like, it goes under the water. Its head goes under the water. And the sinking feeling that immediately hits you when you're like, I no longer know where that alligator is. Like, that alligator could be anywhere at this point. I tried to put on a face for my family, but I'm like, we need to get out of this park. We need to get out of this city, potentially, and we may need to leave the state because I have no idea where that massive alligator is. So the big alligators, very, very scary. And to be honest, so are the 5, 6 footers. They're not like overly aggressive, I don't feel. It's not been my experience with them. But if you're not from Florida, that's the story with alligators. They're everywhere. My wife, Rachel, is out here on the couch. I just had to have her pause her Beyonce music she was listening to so that I could record this podcast. But it also doubled as like hype music for me because you need that going into your podcast recording. You need some Beyonce. If you're ever feeling like insecure, not sure of yourself, maybe don't think you've got what it takes to go into this thing, that's a great little cheat code. Put on some Beyonce right before you go into it, and you'll be just brimming with self-confidence. Queen Bee, as they call her. So we're going to tell a story today. We're going to read a story out of the New Testament. This is from Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, that's the story we're going to be talking about today. Before we go into it, I want to say thank you to everybody that has left a review or rated the Bible is Funny podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all those places you listen. That's so encouraging. Every time you guys do that, that means the world. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for listening. Means a lot to know you guys are out there and trekking along with us. So thank you. Luke chapter 9. So what we're into today, starting in verse 51. So this is the first story we're going to tell with these characters. These characters are Jesus and the disciples. Jesus and the disciples are some of my favorite interactions in the New Testament especially. They just have some really great moments, and this is one of them. This is definitely one of my favorites. Hard to pick a favorite interaction with Jesus and the disciples. But I think it's so cool for us because the disciples, these are people that walked with Jesus. They spent all day with Jesus. You know, they not just these like teaching moments that we have immortalized in the scripture, but like every moment, right? They're walking, they're wherever they crashed for the night, every meal that they had, they spent all this time with Jesus. And I think for me, like a source of encouragement from all that time that they are spending with actual Jesus, not like, you know, felt like God was really present in that moment. No, no, no. Like they were spending time with Jesus. God was wherever they were going. God was, and I know that God is wherever we're going to, but follow me here. They still have these like misses, you know, they still have these like, they're not fully understanding what's going on right in front of them. And I think that's so encouraging because if you're anything like me, especially if you've been at like the Christian walk, the Christian life for a long time, you start to think like, why am I not further ahead? Shouldn't I be like further ahead in this process? Why do I feel like I'm not where I should be? I haven't like evolved past this place. And I think that we all can be susceptible to putting that kind of pressure on ourselves, especially if you've been, you know, a Christian for a while. And the disciples are this great example of like, listen, we're always going to be figuring this out. If we were walking and Jesus were walking alongside with us and we were just listening to every word Jesus, we'd still be figuring this thing out. We'd still be missing it sometimes. So that's overarching. That's a big takeaway from the interactions of Jesus and the disciples. But this particular story, Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 51. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. I love the word resolutely there because it's like, you know, you set out on your trip and you're kind of like, oh, we'd like to get there about this time, but we're really, whenever we get there, we get there. That's one way to travel. And then the other way to travel, maybe you had a parent like this in your family that's got the like, we're going to get up at 2 a.m., get in the car, get halfway to where we're going by 8, at which point we will stop and have a short breakfast, and everyone will use the restroom, and we will get gas, and we won't stop again till we get there. That's that to me, that's the resolutely line. It's we're talking about that kind of travel. No frou-frou stops on this travel. There's an empty 2-liter in the back of the minivan for emergencies. We're stopping for nothing. That's to me when you resolutely set out for something. I'm not exactly sure that's what that means, you know, but that's my thought. Verse 52, and he sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. So for those of you not familiar, there's a tension between the Samaritan people and the Jewish people at this time. The Jewish people looked down on the Samaritan people as just kind of like lesser. There was just a tension between those two communities. So not terribly out of the realm of expectation that the Samaritan village, knowing that they were going to go, that they were Jewish people and they were going to stop there on their way to Jerusalem, that they wouldn't be super warm to them. Verse 54, when the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy them? Verse 55, but Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then he and his disciples went to another village. 54 to 56 is great. This is just great verses. Back to verse 54. When the disciples James and John saw this, saw that the people there did not welcome him, they asked, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy them? My Bible has a little footnote here that says some manuscripts read, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them just as Elijah did? So it seems to me that there's like this story of Elijah, probably Elijah, the prophets of Baal, that, you know, fire comes down from heaven and James and John have just been holding on to this concept as like an option for everything that they're doing, an option for every problem they're coming across. And it's like, verse 55, Jesus turned and rebuked them. It feels to me like the question that comes up, I should say, how often were James and John suggesting this as the course of action? And for what exactly? You know what I mean? Like, does Jesus order a sandwich and the sandwich comes and Jesus is like, oh, I actually ordered this without lettuce. And James and John are like, do you want us to do the fire thing? Should we do the fire thing now? And Jesus is like, no, guys, what I'm going to do is take the lettuce off. So this is, there's an easier way to solve this problem. And it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal there. You know, maybe it's like showing up at your sibling's, you know, birthday party or something, and someone else in your family got a way better gift than you did, right? So you feel like you just totally blew it because this other person got on this great gift. Turn over. Should we do the fire thing to make this right? We'll call the fire down? Is that what this needs? No, James and John. No, we're not calling the fire down. You're in line at the deli. You're the next number up, but somebody scoops in front of you, puts their order in. You want to do the Jesus? Wink twice if it's time. Guys, it's not time. It's never going to be time, okay? That's what I hear in verse 55. Jesus turned and rebuked them. Guys, it's never going to be time. We're not doing it. Just so you guys know, I want you to hear me. We're not doing it. Stop suggesting the fire. And then I love verse 56. Then he and his disciples went to another village. So what's the other? You got James and John over here suggesting we call down fire from heaven and destroy everything and everyone. And then you got verse 56. You know, Jesus rebukes them. And then verse 56. And then they just went and stayed somewhere else. That's what Jesus says. You know what, guys? We're not going to do the fire thing. Instead, we're just going to stay somewhere else. Nobody gets hurt. Everybody's fine. Isn't that a better option? Stop suggesting that you call fire down from heaven for everything. It's just, to me, it's just such a, the fact that this is in the Gospel of Luke, it just is such a, it's such an insight into the, you know, Jesus is spending so much time with this one group of people, really pouring everything into them to say, like, you guys are going to have to take this thing and run with it. And I don't have much time here, so you guys are going to have a lot on your hands. I need you to really get this. And then here's James and John. I think we got it. People aren't nice. You call down the fire from heaven. No. No. Not the fire from heaven. So here's my little takeaway. Here's my little takeaway for you from that story. You know, James and John, they have this moment, they have this suggestion. Do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy them? Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then he and his disciples went to another village. You know, James and John went with Jesus and the rest of the disciples to another village. They weren't exiled at this point. And I think sometimes we can have people in our mind in a place and we never see them getting out of that place. And we're like, you know, they think a certain way, they act a certain way, and there's just no chance that they're going to change. And there's no hope for them sometimes. We'll even go there with our thoughts. And I think about me in a personal story. When I was a kid, this is so hard for people to believe, but I used to get into fights all the time. Like when I was in elementary school, I used to fight people, and I was, you know, I could go on about things that were going on in my life that may have been the cause of some of this. I don't really know. I was just angry, and I was fighting with people a lot. I remember distinctly a kickball game that I was called out on my way to first base, and I did not think I was out, and this person on the other team, you know, said I was out, and I didn't agree, and I just clear as day remember, like, well, then we need to fight. And just starting this brawl with this person. And I think about the people that knew me during that time in my life. And I was spending a lot of time in, like, in after school care and child care, that type of thing. And I think about those workers and how they were probably like, you know, as they were cleaning up for the day or whatever, getting ready, you know, that Anthony Russo kid is like 100% going to end up in jail for something. Like, he just is. he just is an absolute mess. Like, look at, why is he fighting everybody? He wants to fight everybody. He's all angry all the time. I'm sure that this was like the perception. It's just because I was just fighting people. And so what I love here is James and John, this is like the moment we see. This is Luke chapter 9. We get this glimpse of them. James and John go on to be powerful leaders, influential leaders in the Christian movement. They go on to be used by God to do some really great things. You think about the rest of their time with Jesus even, is they, you know, the disciples, like I said, there's so many times where they feel like they're missing it. But these two in particular, here in Luke 9:54, they want to call down fire from heaven because this town isn't particularly rolling out the red carpet for them. And then these same two guys would watch Jesus with all the power and authority to do this, you know, willingly accept death on a cross. And how much that must have been like, okay, now, you know, we're starting to see what this is, what this thing is that Jesus is trying to teach us. I wonder if they reflect back to that moment at that point. Like, oh, he, you know, he could have used the fire thing there, and he didn't. Maybe he was really serious when he said, we're just never doing the fire thing. But that's, they go on, they get past this. They're the way that they see the world, the way that they suggest courses of action, the way that their mind operates, even you could certainly surmise, changes fundamentally. So that's my encouragement for you from this story. Wherever somebody is, you know, you think of like the furthest gone person in your mind that just would never change their mind about that topic. I'm telling you that there is always hope, and there is always opportunity for people to grow and mature and change. And there's never a time when you should say that's the way they think, and that's it, and they'll never come out of it, because it's not true. Sometimes people want to call down fire from heaven for everything, and then they don't. There you go. Luke chapter 9. That's the story. Thank you guys for listening. This has been another episode of the Bible is Funny podcast. Like I said, please, if you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast. Share this with your friends, and you know, let us know if there's like a story or a particular passage of scripture that you want us to cover. I love hearing that. So you can reach out. You can message us on Instagram at The Bible is Funny. And we'd love to hear from you. And we'll talk again soon.